With UPS, future you graduates from Metro College with zero debt. How? As a package handler, you'll have a great job while you attend Metro College, and 100% of your tuition will be covered. Future you goes further than you imagine. Find out what you'll become at UPS.
We are ESPN Louisville, your home for the college football playoff, NFL, the Final Four, and best sports talk. Download the ESPN Louisville app today, delivered by UPS Jobs Kentucky.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded! Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.
Welcome back to Fast Break Friday on the V Show, presented by Universal Windows Direct on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
It was impressive and disgusting at the same time. He took six consecutive bites on a slice of pizza.
And he did it the New York way. Folded the pie over, didn't he?
This is next door. They do, I'll tell you what, Topped, it's called. They have a underappreciated New York-style pizza.
Really?
Two slices and a drink for lunch for $6.
Tops?
Topped. T-O-P-P-T. Topped. It's right next door. Literally right next door.
This must be brand new. I never...
It's been there a while, man.
Has it really?
But it is...
They used to have salad.
Yeah, they don't say
it. Bringing up something completely irrelevant to the conversation.
I'm trying to figure out how long it's been there, what the name is. Nick is like, you know.
You used to have salad.
Louisville was named after King Louis.
That's actually relevant because not top, yet, okay, not it's been there for a while.
Top refers to what goes on the pizza. If it had been salad, it would have
been there for a while.
Sliced or chopped or salad.
Okay, I swear to God.
Topped.
Okay.
It's my new.
But it is New York style pizza.
Yeah.
No, I'm finishing this blanking point.
Good.
They used to serve like little artisan pizzas, but they were called topped because toppings, but also salad.
No,
like,
had nothing to do with the salad.
Oh my God, they were known for salad
topping.
Oh, okay. Make them, take them.
Right. So they went away from.
They still make the artisan pizzas though.
Right, but now
they have. Why it's called topped.
Now they have by the slice. Pizza.
Well, now,
how about this? I was going to give one to you, Chucklehead, but you know.
Nick, as depressed as I just made you, I would think you'd be more depressed if you were one of the most accomplished authors in the country, John Grisham, or the outstanding baseball closer, Jonathan Papelbon, or even Will Clark, who was a longtime all-star first baseman in the major leagues, because all of those guys went to Mississippi State, and they're on their list.
Rafael Palmeiro?
But he's ahead. He doesn't fit this bill, though, because.
Okay,
actually ahead of him. But those three guys are on the list of the top 25 most prominent alums from Mississippi State. They are all well behind the guy who's fourth on the list, who is Machine Gun Kelly, the gangster. You think they put that in their press guide? I'm wondering if they have that slapped in there.
With Wait, the Machine picture. Gun Kelly, the rapper?
Or no, no, no. No, no, the gangster. There's the picture of Machine Gun. There's his mugshot. Rafael Palmeiro's third. That's why I couldn't. He's at least ahead of him. Those three guys are behind a gangster. That's our alma mater. They value us 17 spots less than notorious gangster.
A college student to gangster. That's a big swing, huh?
But I'll tell you, when he if you were playing, you know, little after hours poker in the dorm room, you better pay. He certainly,
they'd let him cheat.
He got his money. George Kelly Barnes, better known by his name Machine Gun Kelly, is. Let's see. He was, well, yep. Mississippi State. I don't know if he graduated. He studied machine gun maintenance, I guess. I don't know. It's maybe a minor.
Bullet making.
So, how about that? We'll hear from Coach Mack in a bit, but we're going to do our top tens right now. Mike has put much thought into his. I have not, and we'll see how much they're different. Let me make sure I get mine straight.
All right,
because I don't want to be influenced by you. That's not fair. NCAA basketball. And there's the Division One, and then there's the top 25. And I am going to see how I differ from the rankings. Okay, go ahead. Who you got?
On top,
On top, I have the Zags, Gonzaga.
That agrees with the AP, top 25.
And Kansas, two.
Kansas is two.
Most talented team in the country. Balance in and out.
Okay.
Ohio State, three.
Okay.
Duke, four. The Oregon Ducks, five.
Although they just lost last night, right, didn't they?
I don't know. I did.
They got beat last night.
Okay. I had U of L, six. Auburn, seven.
Okay.
Memphis, eight.
Okay.
Butler, nine.
Ooh, Butler's, okay.
And Baylor, 10.
Okay.
Right, the next one, I had Kentucky.
Okay.
Dayton.
All right.
San Diego State at 13.
All right.
Maryland, 14, and Nova, 15.
Nice, nice group. The ones that are different from the AP, Dayton is 20 in the AP poll. UK is 17 in the AP poll. And the rest of them, they've got Villanova at 10. I don't think you had Villanova at all.
No, I have them. I have them at 20.
And you have, they have Michigan at 12. You don't have them, right?
I have them at 19.
And did you say you had Baylor though, right?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
All right. I feel bad. I like Mark Few. I think they're really good. I think they potentially are a Final Four team. I have only seen them on television, obviously. I think they're good. I don't think they're better than Duke and Kansas. And their schedule has been easier than both of theirs. And unfortunately for them, their league makes it. So it's unlikely that their schedule will be more difficult. So I would not put them at number one. I would put Duke at number one. They're 11-1. Only reason I put them ahead of Kansas is because Kansas has two losses. But to me, they're 1-1A. And I think you're right. When I left the Champions Classic in New York, I thought Kansas was the best team there. I would put Ohio State at three. They're five in the poll. Then I would put the Zags at four. I would put Louisville at five. Then it gets dicey for me because Bruce Pearl, what do you do with Auburn? They're 12-0, but their schedule's been so, so bad.
Yep.
I just don't think I can put them at six, but then that leads to the question, well, then who do you put at six? I think I would put Baylor at six. So I would put Baylor at six. I'll allow.
They haven't played anybody hardly. Butler at home.
Well, I'll put that.
But
I'll,
no, I've got them in my top 10.
I've got them at six. I'll put Auburn at seven. I'm only doing the top 10. Then 8, 9, and 10, I have to put Memphis in, even though I so dislike everything about what's gone on there. But I'll put them in. They would be 8, so I need two more, right?
You got Baylor already?
Yeah.
How about Butler?
I think Butler, you know, you're going to love who I'm going to put at 10. I'll put Butler at 9, and I'm telling you, I'm putting Dayton at 10. I watched them on TV the other day, and I was, impressed.
I've got them at 12, don't I? I got them at 12.
They were really, really impressive. Now, Florida State tonight, which I keep saying tonight, tomorrow, is going to make quite a test for Louisville. Mike, this is what I want to bring up before we get to Coach Matt, because he's obviously got Kentucky ties. He, in my opinion, is the most underappreciated coach in the country, Leonard Hamilton.
Well, Lenny made his bones as a recruiter, but he won at Okie State. He won at Miami. He did win with Washington in the pros, but he comes back to Florida State. He wins there.
One of only six guys – that has won 150 games in the league. 150 league wins, only six
in
players in the ACC. He's got six. He also, for the 10-year stretch ending 2 years ago, 2017, behind Duke and North Carolina, they were the winningest program in the league for 10 solid years. And if you look at his numbers this year, they are in the top 25 in efficiency, offensively and defensively. He plays a million guys. They play very hard. They're very good defensively, and they run really effectively. They're good. I mean, you know this, and if Leonard were here himself, I would tell him, and gently, but I would tell him the perception was he was a recruiter.
Yeah,
he was not
absolutely.
A coach. And then I had one of their games about 7 or 8 years ago, and they were as good defensively as anybody I'd seen. I was like, you know, that doesn't happen by accident. And now they've gotten to be a little better offensively. They still don't shoot it. He doesn't have a lot of shooters. But they space the floor well. They're big enough to invade some small foreign countries, and they run like the wind. They're not easy to defend, and they force 18 turnovers a game. And he's not afraid to play people. You remember I did that thing about playing eight? You don't play your eighth power team till about the middle of January?
Yeah.
This will already be his eighth power game tonight. They've played people early, unlike a lot of other teams.
I don't think Lenny cares what you think about him as far as a recruiter.
I think he's past all that.
Yes, he is, because he's had to work his way up, and he's done a couple different things, and he ended up with a pretty good job in Florida State after things didn't work out at Washington. And, you know, he's recruited If the knock on him is anything, it's his offense. The players he's recruited aren't good offensively. He's gotten better offensive players.
He goes for athletes.
He goes
size and athletes.
He's had some pretty good He's had a couple foreign guys in there too.
He's got two foreign guys this year.
Does he? I don't know his roster. But you know he is Florida. Tallahassee's not an easy place to recruit to.
And okay. It's also always been a football place, even though they're in the ACC, yeah. And they've been good.
But Leonard is he's going
to
hang.
They went to the Sweet 16 last year.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you know, you forget that. I think they lose. I think they made it to the conference championship game last year.
They did.
So
they
did.
So no, you listen. The guy's a very good basketball coach. The kids play. Here's the thing:
get the kids to play hard.
They play hard. If they play hard for you and share the ball. You're doing your job. Everybody wants to talk about running this play, doing this, doing that. If consistently a coach can get the guys to play hard.
And one of the ways he does it is because he plays a million guys.
Yeah.
And you know what the advantage to that is, Mike? And I think you appreciate this as a former coach. It's hard to prepare for them. Because, like, if you prepare for Louisville, it doesn't mean it's easy, but you know it starts with war. All right, how am I going to put my game plan together? But for this team, he's got, like, six guys that all average around, like, 11, 12, and they're all going to play hard because he plays a million guys at once. There's my old ex-player. Do you remember one of my ex-players is the women's coach, head women's coach at Syracuse?
No.
He's Quentin Hillsman, and they just won on – did you see the play they ran last night? Uh-uh. Great. Yeah, he's got it from me. It's not my play. They were down a point, and they had a sideline out of bounds with, like, a second to go, and they ran a back screen for the girl at the top, went right down the middle, and they lobbed over the top. She caught it. Later.
Really?
And one by one. Yeah, it was pretty impressive. So I should send him a little note.
You ought to send him a note.
I should. So
or text him.
Nowadays, that's right. You don't send notes anymore. Yeah, I should send him a text. But yeah, getting back to when you play a lot of people, I always found it difficult to prepare for teams like that. And you know what else, Mike? I think it helps them. That's why I think they made some tournament runs. Because in like the ACC tournament, when you're playing like in the SEC tournament, the games come one after the other. Well, you don't need that same guy. If that one guy's getting fatigued, well, somebody else steps up and scores.
Rick Barnes did that last year at Tennessee. He had a 8-to-10-man rotation. Now, he lost a couple guys graduation, a couple injuries, more than a couple by graduation, but then a key injury. But he played a lot of guys last year, Bob, and it is tough to prepare.
It is really very, tough. Very hard when you're playing strictly man-to-man and you're trying to learn tendencies and, you know, it's – players, especially they got one day to prepare. Now you're giving me 10 different guys. I mean, and they're all 6'9".
They're all long and athletic.
It's really, really tough.
Do you return the game to Tallahassee?
I think we do. In fact, I know we do. Let me see when, though. Because you don't play everybody twice.
Right.
But Florida State, we actually do not return the game. How about that? Oh, yes, we do. I thought we did. Monday, February 24th. Isn't that weird how league schedules work out? Like, Miami was Louisville's opener. And now the Miami's Louisville's next game on Tuesday. So they will play their first four league games will be Miami twice. And then I don't understand why that makes sense.
I think we've got Georgia kind of like that. I think we got Georgia at home, and then we've got them on the road.
That's bizarre. Anyway.
Or vice versa.
Coach Mack going to the podium? Yes, no, maybe? What's the word? He's close.
He's close.
Very close.
You know, you were close on your jump shot. It's still a miss.
Nazi Muhammad was on the JV team in Kentucky. He once saw him score 40 at Washington County High School against St. Catharines JC.
Patino had that.
That was Patino's. Yeah. That's what he was alluding to when he said Patino had a JV team. It wasn't here. It was at UK. So there you go.
I'll tell you, there's a guy that was quite a story when he came to Kentucky and the shape he was in and then his subsequent development. And, you know, I played golf with him a couple years ago. One of the nicest guys in the world. Yeah, I really enjoyed him.
Where is he? What's he doing?
He was living in Charlotte, but he spends time in Chicago also. That's one of his last stops. Yeah. So, really nice guy, though.
God, there's so many things I want to get to, but I don't want to get into something that's going to be deep because we're going to have to interrupt it right in the middle here.
Well, one thing about Kentucky I thought was really important against, you know, you got a team that was ranked, third in the country?
I think Louisville was third in that game.
Okay. You know, Kentucky had a will to win down the stretch that I really didn't see against Ohio State. I mean, they made a lot of mistakes. They're two down with the ball under 4 minutes, okay? And they did some things, made some mistakes, took some ill-advised shots. But against the Cards, they showed a will to win. I mean,
in Louisville's, from their point of view, that's one thing Chris was encouraged about. Last year's team, I think, would have folded up their tents. You guys got up 12 or 14 or whatever the hell it was. They would have been like, not our night. We're on the road. They're all yelling at us. And these guys just, especially Sutton, who, as you know, I'm the president of his fan club.
I like him.
He got in the huddle basically and was like, we're not just going to roll over. And they came back and they fought back. And so both teams showed a lot of spirit. I guess if you're not going to show spirit in that game, you probably never will show it.
Right, and they're two good teams. I mean, they're two really good teams. But if Brooks makes that putback dunk, was that not a phenomenal play for that kid to go get that?
He covered
shot.
A lot of ground.
Oh, he did. He left from about the charity stripe.
It was a wild ending to the game.
Oh, it was. I mean, I sat there. That thing went deep. I was a little closer to it than you.
Yeah, you were. I was on your side of the court.
And that thing went deep. And I'm thinking, this kid just.
And it's funny because it's nothing to it other than just you're provoking memories. I just said to Paul, you got to make sure you block out because more games are won on tip-ins than any other way. And the guy goes flying down the lane and almost flushes it. And I was like,
That's like guarding the guy taking the ball out of bounds for a last-second shot.
You got to guard that guy. I'm glad I wasn't quite so much of a prophet there, though. That was a wild game. So we'll see how it turns out. What do you know about Missouri before
guard-oriented. They got one big guy, Tillman, who I thought was going to be a special player as a freshman. He's a junior now. He really hasn't developed. You know, if he played for one of our schools, they'd probably want to run him out of town because he had developed 6'9", long arms, you know. And he's a solid player. He's averaging 10 a game, but he can block a shot. But they're pretty much guard-oriented. They shoot it. I don't know whether Konzo Martin was going to be able to get it done there or not. You know, there's a lot of things working against him at Mizzou right now with what's going on at the university, the perception. And, of course, I think he sold his soul to the two Porters. And, boy, they messed over him big time.
Yeah, well, that's what you get.
Yep.
You make a deal like that.
Yep. But he thought he had to come in there and do that to jumpstart.
Well, they needed a kickstart.
Yep.
But that's strange because they've had some good teams, and yet I believe, if I'm not mistaken, they've never been in the Final Four, right? They've never made it.
No.
And Norm Stewart had some really good
Stewart
teams.
Norm Stewart had some terrific teams. He really did. He recruited the JUCO well. And you know where else Norm got a lot of players? Detroit.
Did he really?
Yeah. He had some of his better players from Detroit.
I always wonder why guys find niches. Like, Denny always recruited New Jersey.
Yeah. And Camden in particular.
Yeah, I mean, how that developed. But, you know, from coaching, if you get one guy, sometimes you get five. Because if it's good for that guy, you build relationships. And
when I was at Charlotte, we got into New Jersey to the further away from the city. We couldn't get into the city. We didn't have enough contacts, enough money in our pocket, whatever, okay? But in Jersey, particularly South Jersey, we had three or four guys that weren't highly recruited. Billy Raffery, I took a kid from Raff.
You did? He was at Seton Hall?
Yeah, because they weren't on the national letter of intent.
Seton Hall wasn't on the national letter of intent?
And Billy still, he laughs about this. He promised the kid a job, and somehow it fell through the cracks, you know, the assistants, whatever. The kid calls me up in June. He says, Coach, he said, can I come to Charlotte? I said, well, his name was Chad Kinch. He's a very good player. He was a last guy in the first round pick back then. Guard, 6'4", got hurt, and his career kind of went south. But I said, Chad, I thought you were going to Seton Hall. He said, well, Coach, I can't sign a national letter of intent. And Coach Raff promised me a job, and they haven't come up with it, and I need a job.
That Raff, that lying scoundrel.
Raff laughs about it to this day.
Why would they not be on the national letter of intent?
I don't know. They were independent then. Catholic school was independent, right?
They were in the ECAC, which was that gigantic. Remember,
might as well be independent, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, they did get a bid to the NCAA tournament, but it was like its own little country. They were like literally – I don't know, like 48 teams, and then they would invite four of them for a year-end tournament, and the winner of that got to go to the NCAA. So
Raff's one of the funniest guys in the world.
He's a great guy.
Yes, he is. Special guy. But that's kind of the guys we got in that Southern Jersey area.
I don't know. You get a niche. You find a niche. Like when I was at Kutztown, Art Rich was Redding.
Redding, PA?
Actually, Reading, you know, they've actually had some good plays. I said that, obviously, to be sarcastic, but as I say it now, Pete Carrill for the Princeton coach.
Yeah, Petey.
From Reading. And if you look, really? He had a bunch of good players from there. I don't know why.
Well, he was recruiting properly because that was a tough offense.
You had to be a special player. Yeah, I mean, you had to have – there were so many reads in that offense.
And so your slot, not anybody, I don't care how good they are, could play that.
No, absolutely.
He had to slot it.
You did. All right, here's Chris Mack. We'll be back on the other side.
Would you rather coach basketball or play basketball, and why?
Well, I'd rather play, but I'm not able to play. So I don't really have much of a choice. Both of them are very, very enjoyable. I had a lot of fun playing when I was growing up, when I was a kid, played it all the time. But those days are long gone. Good question.
If you couldn't coach basketball, what else would you do?
That's a good question. I'm not sure. I'd like to write, maybe be an author, but maybe I'll have the opportunity to do that someday when I'm done coaching. Thank you.
Chris, on Saturday, your point guard's 7 assists, 0 turnovers, but Florida State's kind of a different animal in that regard. How are they able to turn teams over as frequently as they do?
I think it, comes down to a few factors. Got excellent, athletic, long, athletes on the floor that, play a style that's all over the court, 94 feet. They don't let you catch the ball where you want. They switch every screen, both on and off the ball, which is a little different from in years past. And, Leonard's teams just over the years have played extremely hard on the defensive end. And, players change, names change, faces change, but the identity doesn't. And that's something that I think when you think about Florida State, you think about a team that presses, that denies, that, tries to rattle the opponent. So we're going to have to do a better job than most teams have done tomorrow if we want to be successful.
Chris, based on Kimball's play against Kentucky, you see his role becoming any bigger? Are you going to tweak it some? Or what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I thought he stepped up. I thought he had his best game of the year, and no doubt the toughest environment that we played. It's what you come to expect from a guy who's been in college basketball for 5 years. So it was really good to see. I thought he was as good as he was on the offensive end. I think people tend to sort of point to an offensive performance, but I thought he was equally as aggressive and as effective on the defensive end. He's by and large been that way the entire year. So, I do think that, we have even more confidence than we've had in him in the past, and I think he's earned that. And so I can see his role expanding. Still have other, talented guards that I'm going to keep on the floor as well.
How's the week away after the game been for you all? Did the loss kind of motivate you all, do you feel like, or just how have things been?
Business as usual. We have to get better. That wouldn't be any different from, the first week after we played Miami of Florida in week one. We were disappointed with the loss. We have to learn from it like we have to learn from wins. We felt like the game, was right there for the taking, but you give Kentucky all the credit in the world for being able to make plays down the stretch that we didn't. And, it's a long season. We have to learn from it. And I think we've had a really good week of practice. And so hopefully we've become a better team here in these last 5 days.
Chris, with as competitive as it is all over the country and especially in this league, how important are home games and to take care of business? Obviously you want to win them all, but to take care of business on your home floor?
We play a lot of games away from our home floor, but we have to take care of business, regardless of who the opponent is, regardless of where the venue is. We got to get back in the win column, and it's no easy task when you face the top 25 team in Florida State. But, I'd love to have the Yum Center rocking tomorrow and making it a great environment for our team. I think our guys have worked really hard this year, put a special team together, and we're looking forward to getting out in front of our fans tomorrow.
You see a difference this year in the ACC? Overall, they've always been one of the top leagues in the country. This year, the NCAA has them ranked fourth, and four teams in the top 25 instead of the usual six or seven. But your thoughts on the ACC, I guess?
Well, you know, our league lost a lot, you know, of players, you know, from last year to this year. I think Jordan and Mooney were the only two guys that you know, received any type of accolades when it came to all ACC honors. So it's a new league. But I think just like with, you know, freshmen and younger players, you know, they get better through game experience. They get better as the season goes on. And so I think you're going to find that a lot of teams are going to play better basketball in our league as the year goes on. And no, make no mistake, we still have teams in this conference that can win a national championship and, you know, teams that have the sights set for that. So I can't worry about the rest of the league. I really haven't delved into it enough. I mean, I've only looked at the teams that we've played. I mean, I see a score here or there or a game in the background. But the only, you know, really three teams that I've focused on have been Miami, Pittsburgh, and Florida State to this point. So I really am not the, you know, authoritarian when it comes to, you know, what other teams look like in our league.
Wara obviously didn't have a good game. Did Kentucky defend him any differently than anybody else, or what do you attribute that to?
No, I think Jordan settled. I think he's got to figure out ways to affect the game, you know, other than scoring the ball. You know, when his shot isn't falling and he missed some easy ones that he normally makes, and I think he pressed beyond that. But when his shot isn't falling or things aren't going his way on the offensive end, I think great players find ways to affect the game and affect winning. And unfortunately, he didn't do that last Saturday. And so, you know, it's something that, you know, we've been, you know, coaching Jordan on ever since I got here. And, you know, if he could do it already, then he wouldn't need a coach. And so, you know, everybody on our team, you know, has strengths and weaknesses. And Jordan sometimes defines himself or lets his scoring affect, you know, who he is in other areas. And he's grown so much in other areas that we need him to affect the game in other ways. You know, he needs to be able to make winning plays and not just being on a team that wins, but, if you know, make plays that affect winning. And I think he's taken a large step forward this week in practice. When you have a game like he did, probably get served a little bit of humility, and that's always a good thing if you learn from it. But he's a high-character kid. He's a terrific player and a great scorer. And I'm confident he's going to become better because of the experience he had last Saturday.
If you were to become an author, what genre would you lean toward?
I don't know. They say that you should write about things you really know. But I think by the time I hang it up, I'd never talk about or write about basketball. I'd be too played out. I'd have to figure something else out.
Coach, your football coaching strategy was kind of borne out and validated on Monday night. There's an open position at Mississippi State. Are you eyeing that at all?
No, I my knowledge of football and football plays is very elementary, as you can see.
Anything else?
Thank you
all. Thanks. So, Chris Mack's press conference brought to you by...
That'll be brought to you by our friends at Class Ad Federal Credit Union. It's like straight A's. For your money.
For your money.
Indeed. Text ESPN to 502-212.
Oh, just makes
3167 for a chance to win weekly Visa gift cards. Right. I thought I heard Echo Man.
He was there for a little bit. Are you waiting for him to come back in?
Yes.
He's unpredictable. You never know when he's going to strike.
Oh, fine.
Who are the kids at that thing? Do we know?
I have no idea. But they asked Fresh the same. They asked Fresh a question too. Who his favorite NBA player was?
They
said it was Chris Paul because he can dominate the game without the ball.
Chris Paul can dominate the game without
the ball?
The ball. What
else
is he talking about?
I don't know. I wasn't really listening.
He's one of those guys.
He clearly
have the
didn't
ball.
Say Chris Paul, or if he did, he didn't say it for that reason, because when he doesn't have the ball, he's invisible.
Oh, he can affect the game without the ball, I think he said. I don't remember.
That one got me.
That one's baffling.
I thought
to
he said too. Chris Paul.
Affect the game without the ball? How the hell
does he do
that?
Because he's a leader.
Well, he is a leader, but he's got to have the ball to make
Maybe
something
he just
happen.
Likes those insurance commercials because they are pretty funny.
They are pretty funny. Maybe I wasn't really listening. No, I don't want to make it sound.
Chris seemed very relaxed. He sometimes gets a little antsy the day before press conference. He seemed maybe because the kids were there. He said the one girl asked a good question. They asked him. I thought actually the one interest that was interesting to me was, which I always find intriguing, how a coach feels about the game. They said the question from the little girl was, young girl, I don't know how little she is, was. If you were an author, what genre would you write? What type of books would you write? And he thought about it. He said, well, they say you should write about something you know. He said, and I, you know, made my living in basketball, but when I'm out of basketball, he said, I will not be writing about basketball. I promise you that. At that point, I've had a belly full.
Making the money that he's making, when I got out, I wouldn't want anything to do
you
with it.
If you were a writer, what would you write?
I would.
I envision you writing a Western novel.
Spy.
A spy novel.
Yeah. How about that?
Like a Tom Clancy type book or something?
Yeah. Right. My one grandson in Charlotte, he's really into that. And when I went down in December, I took him. He got into John Clancy. So I took him three or four that I had that he hadn't read. So he's devouring those.
Nice.
He's dyslexic.
Oh.
And it takes him a little bit long.
How old is he?
He's just turned 16.
Nice.
Nick, we talked about IU football. Bob?
Yes.
Did you see the play when Tennessee came to the line late in the game and the center moved the ball?
It picked up a yard.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then
he moved the ball forward?
Yes. Yeah, it was pretty slick. He kind of leaned over so you couldn't see it on one side, and then just kind of turned it on its nose and went boop, moved it up.
Yeah, but he definitely picks up about a whole yard.
Yeah, but what
difference does it make? Got to run the play. They're not going to spot it.
Fourth and one.
Oh, so the guy, did they sneak it from there?
No, they called him 5-yard penalty.
Oh, they called it on him. Oh man.
I didn't know he got caught. I just saw the video.
Yeah, yeah. He got caught.
That's bad. Ooh. Boy, as a coach, I would. You took me from a fourth and one to a fourth and six because you're trying to be clever. That's being clever at the expense of being smart.
Yeah, well, I'm sure
you
heard
about
it.
You see the play? It was in Louisville's game. That was so cool. It was Louisville's game, right? Wasn't it? They all run together. Wasn't it the one where they moved the line? Did you see that one?
I didn't see that, no.
The refs, there was a...
No, the offensive line, as long as the center doesn't touch the ball. Was that Louisville's game? I thought it was Louisville's game. As long as the center, when you come to the line, doesn't touch the ball.
Okay.
The line can shift. They're not in their down position. They can move. They moved two places to the left. So they had the ball was actually snapped by the guy who originally was the
guard,
right tackle.
Tackle.
It went past the guard. It was the tackle. So it was the tackle on the tight end. And then they had six guys to the left. And they snapped it. They ran. You talking about student body left? They had he had an armada going with him to the left side, and they scored a touchdown. Wasn't that the Louisville game? Listeners, correct me if that wasn't it. I forget which game it was, but I was like, what a cool play that was. I thought that was Satterfield's play. I'm almost sure it was.
The referees are taking some heat through this bowl season, and you know, there's a couple plays where I thought they should just admit they made a mistake. Okay,
that'll calm people down.
Well, no, but I mean, I have a lot more respect for him. It's like the play, the Ohio State play that broke their back and brought the scoop and run.
Some man didn't get to cash a ticket. I'm just saying.
Well, yeah.
But I noticed the one game he points out, that was the officials. I'm telling you, I'm done with replay now. They need to just make it so very, very narrow, because unless they do it, this is perfect. This is so arrogant. Unless they do what I say, then I don't like it, which is have a guy there who's the director of common sense, and he sits up there, and he only stops it if it's a blatant, obvious mistake. And there's
no
criteria.
Debate.
There's also, because right now, we can't review that. We can only review this in the last 2 minutes. We can't review that on Tuesdays. We can only do this. Screw it. He sits up there. He's got the thing. He says, oh, my God, that was ridiculously wrong. Beep. And he beeps it down, and then they tell the officials, look, the ball went through Bill Buckner's legs. You know, the jockey misjudged the finish line. People make mistakes. You made a mistake there. We're just going to fix it, and then let's play. But beyond that, and especially the basketball, the me knocking the ball out of your hands, and then we got to watch it frame by frame to see if it nicked your pinky finger on the way out, that one drives me nuts. If I was in a schoolyard and I tried to claim that was off you, my own teammates would beat the crap out of me. That is, I knocked it out of your hands. It's off me, unless I smack it off your foot.
But how many times when you were playing on the playground, so you called your own fouls, okay, you called your own fouls or whatever. And there was always a debate about whether you got fouled or not, you know?
Yeah, but it was only to a degree, because you know that if you played with that guy who was complaining about every call, they wouldn't let him play anymore.
Unless he was really good.
No, they still wouldn't take him. Get out of here. We want to play. You just want to play. It's ruining games, man.
Well,
I agree.
Here's
the point, though, Mike. Nobody's happier about officiating. I would be willing to put up with it if people were saying, I got to tell you, I've never seen such well-officiated games. But people are still losing their minds after every game. And they're still, as soon as the game ends, 20 things on Twitter. Watch this play. Watch this play. Watch this play. Look at this play. So what are we accomplishing? I'll be honest. I don't know. Maybe you didn't feel that way. So I thought the game at your place was fairly officiated.
Yeah,
I thought they
yeah.
missed some calls. But
sure.
I thought they did a pretty good job of walking that fine line of allowing them to play but not letting it get out of hand where it turned into the Broad Street Bullies fight. And that's not an easy thing to do. And so they missed some our way, they missed some your way, but by and large it was fair and it had a good feel. The game had a flow. So I thought they did a pretty good job. But
your last point is, and I agree with your first, but the last point, that game had a nice flow to it. It had a really nice flow to it. It wasn't – the referees didn't put the game in a herky-jerky situation.
No.
And we've seen that before.
But I also
not just Kentucky versus Louisville.
No,
just
I agree.
Any game.
But I have problem when I hear people saying, oh, you got to let the kids play. Sometimes you can't let the kids play. You call – you know, I said sometimes, they called 60 fouls in that game. I said, you know why they called 60 fouls in that game? Because guys fouled each other 60 times. I mean, what are you going to do? I mean, there's – if they commit that many fouls, you can't just say, all right, well, I've called enough fouls now. I'm sorry. I know poor Mike's bleeding over there with a broken nose, but I can't call that. You got to call fouls.
Don't you think, though, there are some referees that won't go? We had a referee when we played Utah, and I'm not going to mention his name. He's on the downside of his career, but when he was rolling, he was really good.
See the Pac – I won't mention his name, but the Pac-12 guy?
No, the two Pac-12 guys and him.
Okay.
He's an ACC, SEC guy.
Okay.
Okay. They started blowing whistles, and I think he just went, and we all thought, he just said, look, I'm not going to get involved in this because they just overrode, you know, just made some calls.
So he wouldn't blow those whistles at all?
He wouldn't blow his whistle.
Oh.
He just retreated. He said, unless it's right in front of me, I'm going to let these boys. That's what they want because they were whistle happy, okay? And Kentucky played bad. I'm not trying to say it affected the game, but I have seen situations where in basketball a referee will go, hey.
Well, Billis and I got into a big fight about this. Let me see if you – this is a long time ago. You know how long ago it was? Jody Sylvester was still refereeing.
Okay? Wow.
All right, here's the play. I want to see what you think about this. I don't remember the teams. Let's say Team A and Team B. The game is tied. Team B has the ball going right to left as we're looking at it, and they have the length of the court to go, and there's only 2 seconds left in the game. They throw it inbounds. The guy tries to dribble around the Team A defender. And he steps out of bounds, okay?
With the ball.
He's dribbling, and he steps out of bounds. But the reason he steps out of bounds is because the defender sticks a hip out and makes him go out of bounds.
Forced him out.
Yeah, and Jay says, you can't call that because there's only 2 seconds to go in the game. So, Jay, the guy is blatantly 6 inches out of bounds.
I agree
your job
with you.
As the official.
You forced him out.
You got to call something.
Yep.
And he said, well, if he calls him out of bounds and no foul, now you give the ball to Team A in their offensive half of the court, and they still got time to score and win the game. So he called a foul. And Jay was livid. He's like, how can you call a foul? It's the guy that watching the replay, the kid is 6 inches out of bounds. Your job is to figure out why did he go out of bounds. If he went out on his own, then you got to give it to the Team A and give him a chance to win the game. If not, then you forced him out of bounds. It's a foul. And the kid went to the line, made the free throws, and they lost. He said, what a terrible way to lose the game. I said, well, yeah, you know why it's a terrible game? Because the kid made a stupid play on defense. Don't blame the referee, right? I mean, you can't let that go, can you?
No, absolutely. You can't force
a guy out. I didn't understand that logic at all.
No, he must have been thinking of something else. But if you force somebody out like that, it's a foul. If you knee the guy and force him out, it's a foul. I mean, pretty simple.
Well, but I mean, it wasn't a blatant force out. We shoved him out of bounds. But, I mean, it was, if you watch it, he definitely sticks his hip out that gives the kid nowhere to go. What are you going to do? Because the way I look at it, I always say, okay, let me grant you your argument. If I can't call a foul there, I'm rewarding him for playing illegal defense. I think what Jay was actually saying was he shouldn't have called the foul. He should let the clock run out. That's what he was saying. He should have just let him go out of bounds and keep dribbling, and then the clock runs out, go to overtime. And I was like,
But what if the guy goes out of bounds and comes back and throws
makes a 40-footer
and beats him. The other coach is going to go,
he's out of bounds. Exactly. That's why I said, once you start doing that, man, you're opening a can of worms you can't fix. So I just, you know what? Just call the game as you see it and do the best
you can.
You're
going to make some mistakes.
And, you know.
But my thing is, make the mistakes. You're human, but admit your
mistakes.
Well,
I agree with that. Nick says we got to get one more break in, so let's do it. Nick, are you paying attention or are you not with us? Thanks for coming back wherever you are, and we'll play this last break here on Fast Break Friday on ESPN Radio.
In today's fiercely competitive environment, it's critical to attract and retain a strong pool of talent, and keeping those people engaged is just as important. That's why HR professionals need a new set of tools for taking care of their organization's most valuable resource, from hire to retire. And a full suite, single-platform human capital management solution from Kronos is just the answer. Learn more at kronos.com/HCM. Kronos, workforce innovation that works.
My house has a new glow. I love my windows. Universal Windows Direct.
Hey, it's Bob Valvano. Right now, for every window you buy, you get the next one free, no limits, and 0% financing for 36 months. Call 502-487-5200 or go to universalwindowsdirect.com. Like me, you'll be saying, I love my windows.
I love my windows. They've got that brand new home effect. Universal Windows Direct.
Commonwealth Credit Union has been ranked best in-state credit union in Forbes magazine for the second year in a row. When we opened our doors in 1951, we named ourselves Commonwealth to remind us every day of who we're here to serve. Our friends, our neighbors, right here in the Bluegrass. And we've been bettering lives in our communities ever since. If you've never tried Commonwealth Credit Union before, visit ccuky.org/best and come check out what you've been missing. Because here, we see you differently. Commonwealth Credit Union. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hi, I'm Hannah Gist with Gist Piano Center. Whether it's tuning, moving, storage, appraisals, or complete restoration, we take care of all your piano needs. Try Gist Piano Center, trusted in Kentucky.
Hey, this is Mike Pratt, and do you know what sets a community bank apart from the rest? Friendly service, attention to detail, focus on making sure customers get what they need. At River City Bank, you will receive all of that and more. Be it a home improvement project, construction of a new home, or a bridge loan, their team is with you every step of the way. Visit any convenient River City Bank location or online at rivercitybankky.com. Hometown banking, hometown people, River City Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Hey y'all, this is your girl Cheryl Underwood, and my digestive system used to make me feel sluggish, but those days are over. That's because I've kicked off 2020 with the Metamucil 2-week challenge, and I'm hooked. All I did was take Metamucil every day for 14 days, and it's really that easy. Why? Because Metamucil traps and removes the waste that weighs you down so you feel lighter and more energetic. Now I never want to go back to that heavy feeling. Are you ready for the Metamucil 2-week challenge? For a coupon and daily support, sign up at Metamucil.com today.
It's Mattress Firm's year-end sale. Through Tuesday, save up to $600 when you get a king mattress for the price of a queen and a queen for a twin. Plus, get a free adjustable base when you spend just $499. Don't wait. These deals end Tuesday, so visit MattressFirm.com or a store near you to try your perfect bed today. Your budget stretches further at Mattress Firm.
Offer valid with qualifying purchase. Hot-buy offer available while supplies last. Restrictions apply. Valid at participating locations only. For offer details, visit MattressFirm.com/sale.
Hi, I'm Mike Pratt, here to tell you about Premier Packaging, a locally owned business that specializes in packaging, shipping, and logistics. Since 1984, Premier Packaging has taken a straightforward approach you can trust. With shipping costs on the rise, their team of professionals will work with you personally to minimize costs and increase your bottom line. From inbound, outbound, storing, and picking, Premier Packaging has solutions for your businesses, large or small. Visit Primpack.com and sign up for a free assessment. Premier Packaging. This approach makes a difference.
My name is Steve Bosco, General Manager of Prodigy Construction. I've been part of the Commonwealth Bank and Trust family since 2016. While other banks can take a simple process and make it complicated, CB&T keeps things simple. They're honest, fair, and transparent. If you're looking for a bank for your business, let me know. I'll take you to lunch with my banker. Having CB&T as a partner is like having a banker in the family.
See more business banking stories at bankerinthefamily.com.
Do you suffer from peripheral neuropathy in the hands or feet, continual numbness, tingling or burning sensation, balance problems, decreasing the quality of your life? This is Mike Pratt, University of Kentucky Basketball Hall of Famer. I am here to talk to you about Dr. Anthony Sears, author of Your 21st Century Doctor. One issue that has long frustrated Dr. Sears, that many neuropathy sufferers are unaware of, is the potential dangerous side effects of the prescription drugs that they are using. They are unaware of recent studies that reveal the very drugs they're taking are actually making the condition worse. Dr. Sears' passion is showing patients how to reverse the neuropathy and live without the fear of the inevitable downward spirals created by the disease itself in the typical cocktail drug approach. To learn more, I invite you to his free seminar, Blueprint to Neuropathy. This seminar is free. Seating is limited. Call now to reserve your spot, 1-888-655-PAIN. Again, 1-888-655-PAIN.
Fast Break Friday is brought to you by Universal Windows. Schedule your free in-home estimate today, and for every window you buy, you get the next one free. Plus 0% financing for 36 months and free installation. You'll be saying, I love my windows.
Wow, isn't that nice? It's a nice way to get our year started. I hope you guys realize how much a sports fan learns from you all for 2 hours every Friday.
That's nice.
Yeah, you don't get a lot of those. Most of the texts you get start with, hey, you idiot, or worse.
So can't believe nice. You said that, you goofball.
You cannot be in a legal guarding position with a foot out of bounds. Your feet have to be in bounds. I don't believe that's true. I'm almost sure that's not true.
You have to say that again?
You cannot be in a legal guarding position with a foot out of bounds. You have to be in bounds. I don't think that's true.
I don't think that has any effect on the defender.
Guys, right. You
squeeze him
straddle,
to, yeah, you squeeze him to the
sideline. We were taught, in fact, straddle the baseline to make sure a guy can't beat you then. I'm not sure about that. Texter says if they called 60 fouls in a game, people get mad, they probably fouled each other 90 times. That's a good point. There's something to that. I think that's
grab,
true.
Grab, push, hold, and shove.
Poor Indiana. What a year would have been for the football teams. Kentucky wins a bowl game, gets 8 wins. Louisville wins a bowl game, incredibly, after a 2-win season. Western Kentucky wins at gun. And then Indiana should have won, and then they give up an onside kick.
I was impressed with Indiana.
They may have been, in all fairness, the best team of the bunch, to be honest with you. They were really good.
They were very good. In Tennessee, they had Tennessee where they wanted them, and Tennessee's got a lot of talent and played very well at the end of the season. Indiana should have won that game.
Yeah, they just.
But you and I have coached teams that should have, would have, could have.
Football is, though, I'm telling you, the ends of games drive me nuts. They really do. It's just the whole thing. I mean, I guess it's easy for me to say. I've not done it. We had 5 guys to manage, 12 if you want to count the bench. They got 80 guys, 3 different units if you count special teams. And within those units, there are specialty units within the units. So there's, you got your short yardage package, you got your goal line package. So there's a whole lot of moving parts. But I still can't get over the ends of games. If you're a fan, you're just like, I'll be honest with you, I'm watching Indiana at the replay when I was, and I said, there was only 4 minutes left to go in the game. Play everybody up for an onside kick. Who cares if they kick it long? Make that fair catch signal thing and just, right? Can't you do that?
Yeah, you can.
I mean,
fair
catch it. Crazy. Sure. It doesn't make any sense. You gave them a chance to win the game, and they took advantage of it. And, boy, you always want to make it so that, I used to say, you know what coaching is? Coaching is going to a roulette wheel and trying to jerry-rig the board so that instead of equal number of red spots and black spots, there's more red spots than there are black. And then you bet red every time. And if you can get that wheel to 60 to 40 or 70, 65 to 35 or 70, 30, then you can win. That's all you're trying to do. I mean, you can't guarantee. I don't think he jerry-rigged the wheel very well there by playing guys back to return a kick. I didn't understand
that. Not in that situation.
I mean, you got to get your mitts on the ball first.
And stop the play. You got to stop the catch it. Stop the play.
That's I can understand. I know what he's thinking. Well, if they kick it, we catch it, and they pin us back, and we don't get a good return, then we got to punt it. They got a chance to win. But I'd rather take my chances with them, having
the
to go
length of the field
go
or whatever.
50 yards or 60 yards or 70 yards with now a minute and a half to go on the clock, because he could have run probably 2 minutes off the clock instead of gave him 4 minutes and took the ball almost at midfield or wherever it was. So.
And look, Tennessee made some mistakes down the stretch. They were able to score, but they also, I thought,
well,
made
that's
some mistakes.
Nobody, that's the great Lou Holtz line. You always steal from coaches. I always thought that was one of the great things he told Actually, it wasn't Lou Holtz. It was Bill Walsh. Bill Walsh said, I promise you, I can only promise you one thing today. Something will go wrong out there.
Well,
I think that was great because, you know, he said, so just they understand it and how well we overcome that will determine whether we're successful because that's how often teams get derailed if something goes wrong. You know, his approach was, we're not going out there cavalier about mistakes, but nobody's ever had a day go perfectly, ever.
That's what we used to term the term game slippage. You practice, you set up plays, you see how fast a guy can dribble the ball up the length of the floor for the last second. You put seconds on the clock. You do all that stuff. And you teach and you train, as they say now. And then you get into a game and there's game slippage. And you know what? The game, when they leave that huddle to when the ball's inbounds, game slippage. The degree of game slippage is correlated with the experience you have on your team. Okay? But game slippage, and it happens in all sports.
No. Guy texts us, can you draw a charge with 1 foot out of bounds? I always thought you could. If I'm standing straddling the line and you're running close enough to the sideline where you would run into my body, I think I'm in a legal guarding position,
but,
I always
but
thought.
First of all, you wouldn't have position to take a charge if you're straddling the line because the guy would be out of bounds. He should.
Well, no. Or let's say my right foot is just 4 inches out of bounds.
On the line. Okay.
Yeah, on the line.
Okay.
Guy runs into you. Technically, yeah. I'm out of bounds. The line is out of bounds.
I don't think it makes any difference.
I don't think
to
it
you.
Does either, but I don't know. We have to take a look at that. Because I'll be honest with you. That's how we. I always remind, sadly, people, it was many, many years ago when I was playing in middle school, but I remember being taught that by a really fine coach I had at that time, that back then when you never gave up the baseline.
And you put your foot on the end line.
On the line.
On the end
exactly.
line. That was you drive him down the side.
And then you
drive
put
him
your
to
foot
the
on the line.
Put your foot on the line.
Yeah, so you were taught the same thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't know, maybe the rules changed, but I don't think it has.
I was taught to do the Matador defense. I didn't worry about
that. You didn't really guard people until you got to the ABA when you had to start guarding somebody.
I have a soundbite, by the way.
Okay.
Jason Entz actually first pointed this out to me.
Okay.
But I think, I mean, it's a fun soundbite, but okay. It'll segue into maybe a little comment about the Cats and Mizzou this weekend. So it was the SEC teleconference. Coach Cal, it was his turn to come up, and he was kind of finishing his lunch.
Yeah, this is we can relate to this, yes. Nick and I. This is quality.
3 overall. They open up conference play on Saturday against Missouri. They ask a question of Coach Calipari. Press *1 now. Coach, while we wait on questions, could you give us some brief comments on your team entering conference play?
Well,
yeah, Cal, atta boy.
That's about what I can say right now. Guys are trying. We've had 2 monster practices. I've been tough. I'm like my UMass days the last couple days.
Got a mouth of pizza.
Got to back up a little bit now. We got a tough opponent. Coach Martin's got these guys playing. They're defending. And
I'm loving that.
Made 16 threes last game. I'm talking about Missouri, so tough road.
Quality. Thank you, Cal, for now.
He took to Twitter because Kyle Tucker tweeted,
called him out on it.
Well, yeah, he's like, it seems that Cal is eating a sandwich during this. And so Cal took to Twitter later to say, well, I was eating, but I put my fork down to answer some questions. I was not eating a sandwich, however. It was a salad with walnuts.
Oh, I would have bet it's a pizza. He loves pizza.
Now, let's see. It's Calipari.
Pittsburgh.
Hey, Ben's got good taste.
People. Yeah.
So, unbelievable. All right. Well, good luck.
Same deal.
We will see you next week. Are we all here? Let's go take a look, shall we?
We are home next week to Alabama.
We
so
are
we'll be here on Friday. You?
Well, we'll be at Notre Dame on Saturday, so we'll leave Friday. The question is how early we'll leave. I don't know, so. I don't know. I'll have to find out. I don't have the travel schedule yet.
Take the bus up, man.
I'm going with them, so wherever they go, we go.
I take the bus up.
I don't think so.
No.
Take the train.
We fly.
Take the train.
You
fly.
Even,
That's how it works at this level.
Oh, yeah.
You know, not enough money, but we fly. Next year, we're flying to your game.
No, we're flying to you.
That's right. You fly here. Be perfect. Hey, thanks for being with us in Lexington and wherever you're listening to Fast Break Friday. Those of you in Louisville, we got another hour to go. Thanks to Mike. It's always great to see him with his new Christmas gift pants. Oh, very nice. He looks
warm
sharp.
Up pants.
Looks
thank
sharp.
You. Thank you.
And we'll come back here. Thanks again. Fast Break Friday and the V Show, ESPN Radio.
UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $13 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. Apply now at upsjobs.com or text brown to 33588. That's brown to 33588.
Bluegrass Karting and Events now has the fastest go-karts in Kentucky and axe throwing. Grab your coworkers, family, and friends and make a night of it with our new full bar and food menu. Bluegrass Karting and Events is Louisville's premier high-speed entertainment destination, online at bluegrasskarting.com.